have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
In the Scottish Premiership, Ross County 0, Celtic 1, Aberdeen 0, Motherwell 2, Dundee 0, Kilmarnock 0, Hibernian 1, St Johnston 2, and Rangers 0, Hamilton 2. Scottish League 2, Cowdenbeath 1, and an Athletic 1. In the Scottish Cup third round, Lothian Thistle 1, St Mirren 7, Airdrieonians 2, Cove Rangers 3, Arbroath 3, Berwick Rangers 0, Banks Odeed 2, Ayr United 6, Buckie Thistle 2, Brechin City 3, Clyde 0, East Fife 2, Dumbarton 1, Elgin City 0, East Kilbride 3, Albion Rovers 4, Fermartin United 1, Forfar 0, Livingston 2, Glenafton Athletic 0, Montrose 0, Queen of the South 0, Peterhead 3, Raith Rovers 0, Queen's Park 1, Dunfermline 4, Spartans 1, Fraserburgh 2, Stenhouse Muir 1, Alloa Athletic 2, Stranraer 0, Brora Rangers 1. In the English Premier League, Arsenal 2, Spurs 0, Bournemouth 4, Huddersfield Town 0, Burnley 2, Swansea City 0, Crystal Palace 2, Everton 2, Leicester City 0, Manchester City 2, Liverpool 3, Southampton 0, and West Bromwich Albion 0, Chelsea 4.
That's you right up to speed with all the scores then. The phone lines are open, 01419511025. Give us a call, get it all off your chest, good, bad or indifferent.
Well, that sums up Rangers at home. Good, bad, indifferent. By my reckoning, Gordon, they've lost 13 points at home so far this season. They've lost to Celtic, they've lost to Hibs, now they've lost to Hamilton Accies, they've drawn with Hearts, drawn with Kilmarnock. 13 points dropped at home.
James is in Drumchapel to kick things off tonight. Hi, James.
Hello, how are we?
Not bad. I was going to ask how you are, but I think that's fairly obvious.
Sum up
your frustration. Oh, don't know about that, James. Just keep it it polite.
I'm embarrassed this evening. I don't blame managers, I don't blame players. I blame the board. Mr. King sat when he took over, him, Gilligan, Park, the lot of them, they promised us the earth and have delivered absolutely hee-haw. The two managers, they sat after Warburton was sat the press conference and says, we have to get this right because the next appointment's going to put us back years. King didn't even have the guts to even tell Kishina that he was sacked. He got in a plane and he got back to South Africa. See, if that man does not want anything to do with Rangers, sell the club up to somebody who's going to come in and do better than what King has. I am absolute, guys, I'm seething tonight. 2-0 to Hamilton Accies at home. You have got to be kidding me on. There is not one player in that team that is fit enough. The shirt is too big for them. The badge is too heavy for them. We're a disgrace. And everybody on that board, know what I'm going to say to you guys? All the fans groups, march from here to wherever, march the length and breadth of Britain to demand that the ex-boards resigned or were sacked. Where are they tonight? Why am I not doing it, man, at the front door tonight, beating the door open and demanding that this board of them are sacked or they resign? Because they have messed up big time. And it's dafties like myself and the other thousands of Rangers supporters that go every week home and away to support them. And that is what we get. That's what we're getting paid back by. No, the game's a bogey, guys. Turn the lights off and pull the shutters down.
Hugh, the fans, if James is anything to go by, they're obviously looking at the big picture because today's defeat was clearly down to 11 players who didn't do their job. But but James is wanting to look at the bigger picture as to how it came to this.
Well, James would like the board to go, but it's much easier said than done. Rangers are in a poor financial state. They are not an attractive buy for anybody. And there are outstanding debts that have to be met. So in that regard, they are not an attractive proposition for potential buyers. But I do take the point that the board, time has run out. I said to you earlier on, time has now run out. Graham Murty is no longer keeping an even keel. The ship has collapsed tonight. And now the board are under much greater pressure than they were at 5-3 this afternoon. And the fans want to know what is happening. And somebody, somewhere, whether he's in South Africa or whether he's in Govan, somebody, somewhere, has got to come up with a statement for the fans, telling them what is going on, and they better get it out quickly.
Well, they'll get their chance, Hugh, because the AGM is at the end of the month, you know, where the fans can go and ask questions. They have about an hour where they ask questions. But today was about a team that got beaten, never mind Dave King or the board or anybody else. That was a team that Graham Murty's put out today where you were expecting Rangers to win. They knew it would be hard. They had to play well to beat Hamilton. They haven't played well today. Never mind they've missed chances. This game is all about scoring goals and not keeping them out at the other end. They didn't do it today. A Hamilton team have humbled them at Ibrox for the first time in about 90 years or whatever in the league. And it's been poor. And at this moment in time, I think it's the players that deserve to get the stick rather than throwing it at the board.
Yeah, but James's point is well made that Caixinha was a disastrous appointment and reflected badly on those who made that appointment. Now he's gone, and now there have been 3 weeks of inactivity, or have there, because the Rangers fans don't know what is going on, and they'll have to be brought up to speed.
But Hugh, that's all right saying that afterwards. You know, when he was brought in, everybody was excited. Here's this man here, he's got money to spend, and everybody was up for it. It didn't work out, it's as simple as that. That's why he's gone. And you're left with his legacy, his players there. You maybe not.
Yeah, but he was appointed by the board that James wants to.
Yeah, but every board makes bad decisions on that. It's a poor one for Rangers at this moment in time. I'm embarrassed for that result this afternoon. And that's nothing against Hamilton. Well done to Hamilton. They've gone there, played well, and scored 2 goals, and they've beat Rangers. The players themselves have got to look at themselves in the mirror.
No one denies that. But the top of the house, the boardroom, the top of the house is in disarray as well.
Just let James back in.
Just bring me, guys. It's just. It's embarrassing. I just don't know where to hang me. It's just been. We've been plodding off from one disaster to the other. See, the thing is, Derek, it's already saying that all the fans want a statement. I'm sick of hearing statements.
Well, I never said that. You said they wanted a statement.
But surely, James, you want some indication of what is going on.
Talk's cheap. Talk's cheap. And that's what we're getting right now. We're the cheap option now, guys. King was going to invest £30 million. Are you kidding me on?
James, what do you want to see happening at this moment in time, the way you're feeling? What do you want to see happen?
The manager, you mean?
Yeah, well, anything about the football club itself. Would you rather they went out and got a manager on Monday morning?
Well, what manager in the right mind is going to come in, man, and take that team there, though, Derek?
Is that what you're on? You know, you obviously want change because they're not good.
I want action. I'm sick of hearing words from guys that are coming out saying that they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Well, go and do it. Prove. Put your money in. That's what I'm saying. Dave King never had the guts to sit and sack Caixinha. Fair enough, it might not have been him interviewed him, but see, at the end of the day, he's the owner of the club. He's the man. He's a major shareholder at that club.
He's not the owner. He's not the owner, James. He's not the owner.
Well, he's a major shareholder then, Derek. So, he just doesn't fill me with confidence. He comes in, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, blah, blah, blah. I say to you, talk's cheap. Rangers supporters want to see action now. We want to see them actually going and doing something.
How do you define action? What do you want to see done?
I want to see investment brought into the club. I want to see King sell these other businesses, right? Now, if he wants to, now, his words were, I'm here to stop 10 in a row, right? Well, I'm sorry, unless he sells up all these other businesses and puts Rangers, now I'm saying, you can't be the major shareholder at Ibrox and say that you're going to promise to do this if you've got other business interests. I'm sick of hearing your board have got other business interests. Sell your other business interests.
James, why should he?
Why? Because he's supposed to be a Rangers man. He should be there, I mean, making sure that Rangers Football Club are back at the top of the game again. That's why, Murdo.
Okay, thanks to James and Drumchapel. A very, very, I don't know if I've got the right word, angry, frustrated, furious, everything in between. James not happy at all with what he witnessed today and the bigger picture. What about Brian and Lark Hall? Hi, Brian.
Hi, panel.
Hi, Brian.
Okay, I'd like to speak to you first before I go to my main point.
On you go, Brian.
Hugh, what do you mean by Rangers have got main debts? What debts have Rangers got?
Well, there are monies that Rangers still have to pay for a variety of things.
Well, explain that to me because
I think he means the fact that it's the loans that are going to be needed to get through to the end of the season,
that type of thing. That's the loans that will actually be turned into equity.
Equity, yeah, you're right.
And you know, for shares, Rangers are not going to be paying any loans back. I hate the word soft loans anyway. I mean, the board's job is to provide funds, and that's exactly what they're doing at the moment. You, to meet a shortfall.
Okay, fair point.
Right, if you look at Rangers' home record this season, I think that tells you a great deal about this Rangers team. Because when you play at Ibrox in front of full house, the pressure is there to win, and they've only won 2 out of 7. If you compare that to their away record in the league, they've won 5 out of 6. There's no doubt that there are players in this Rangers side who struggle with the expectation, you know, of playing for the club. Obviously, what's going on in the background with not having a manager, I never bought in to Graham Murray ever been Rangers manager. I think Graham's a very good coach, especially at youth level. And he's come in and he's done a decent job, but I never thought for a moment that he would even consider. I think this may accelerate it now, that we have to get a manager in, and we obviously have to get the right man.
I think what we've said in the last couple of days, you know, if Graham Murty comes in and had he won the day, it's all ifs, buts and maybes, we know that, but if he'd won today, won at Dundee next week and beaten Aberdeen twice, then he was going to be a contender to get the job.
Derek, that's tall.
Well, I don't. But Rangers is all about winning, and with these that group of players, if you could have won these four games, you know, with a team that most Rangers fans would say, well, it's not good enough. But if you've got a man that can get the best out of them and get four results like that, I think he had to be. I'm not saying he would have got the job. I'm saying he would have been in contention.
Yeah, but that'd be another gamble.
Yeah, of course.
We spoke about it before the matches today, that if he won today and he beat Dundee and then beat Aberdeen twice, he would come into contention. Yeah. But again, that's a gamble. Rangers have got to go down the line of bringing in an experienced manager that's been to the highest level in English football and bring them up to the club with all his contacts, and hopefully someone else will put some more money.
So that's not Rangers. Derek McInnes, and you don't think Derek McInnes will get it?
No, I don't think so.
What about Rangers if they want to start challenge?
Because they've got to start a challenge if they want to stop Celtic winning 10 in a row. If they want to start it, they've got to start now. They can't just say, right, we're going to go another couple of weeks. They've got to get their manager in now.
They've to start it now and finish second, as they're all trying to do up there. Because, you know, there's only one team going to win it. We are all aware of that. So the progress would be for Rangers to go up there and finish second, certainly this season.
What about Brian's other point, or his main point, Hugh, about the home form? Because, you know, you touched on it before, and we looked at some of the stats during the break as well. You know, the defeat to Hibs, the draw with Hearts, the draw with Kilmarnock, that defeat today, and so on. The home form is just, it's obviously not good enough, but is that, why might that be the case, I suppose, is what I'm asking. Is it to do with pressure, as Brian says, expectation?
I think it's to do with the fact that when Pedro Caixinha had control of the team at the start of the season, the players he brought in weren't good enough, and they lack the durability for Scottish football, a lot of them. But all of the points, 13 points dropped at home, have only taken us to this watershed moment tonight, which is no more talk of Graham Murty as a contender for the job, because he just won't get it. And running in tandem with that, you have Derek McInnes hitting very poor form with Aberdeen. Celtic went to Pittodrie and destroyed Aberdeen. Motherwell have gone there and beaten them today. They've been knocked out of the Betfred Cup by Motherwell. So I can hear Rangers supporters saying, well, why would Rangers want Derek McInnes? So there's a double whammy going on here, where Rangers aren't good enough, need a manager, and the man who is assumed to be the favourite is going through a very bad time with his club. So this is the watershed moment, and that's why I say the Rangers fans now want to know what is going on. What has happened over the last 3 weeks since Pedro Caixinha went back to Portugal? What, if anything, has happened?
Lots of you trying to get in touch on the phone lines. I will do my best to get round as many as possible. Robert's in Erskine. Hi, Robert.
Hi then, panel. Couple of points on the previous two callers I agree with and some I disagree with. And I disagree with Mr. Johnston quite a bit here on some of the things he said. Rangers have went from a board that were on the front pages continually to being like the Masonic Lodge now, where you hear nothing from them, which I think is shocking from them. And they're actually neglecting the Rangers fans now in terms of not communicating at all. There's just no communication whatsoever. And regarding Graham Murty, I'd like your points on these, or your comments on these 2 points. I tried to get on 2 weeks ago when Rangers won 3-0 to say about my concerns about Graham Murphy as a manager, even though we won that day. He was winning 3-0 and yet chose to wait till 85 minutes before he changed anything. And today, you can see the midfield was struggling big time, and yet he waits till 72 minutes before he makes a change. And then when he makes a change, he doesn't change the midfield, he changes the front two. Now, the front two weren't getting any service today from the midfield. Jason Holt was anonymous. Windass was, I don't know where he was. And the other thing is, we've got a right back playing at left back. It just beggars belief.
But in terms of the immediate future, Graham Murphy is now past tense. Graham Murphy was a youth coach who was brought in because he was the last man standing. Pedro Caixinha and all of his assistants had gone from the club. Graham Murphy, having done the job once before, was entrusted with the team until such times as Rangers got themselves a new manager. He was there to buy Rangers time to perform that function. Now time has run out because tonight's result is a watershed moment.
But Hugh, can I just say, it goes back to my original point. The board have gone from being all over the front pages a few years ago to being completely uncommunicative with the fans. Why are they not telling us anything?
Well, I agree with you.
I mean, there was the statement, was that last Friday? It didn't say very much, granted, but it explained where they were in the process. But I guess, Robert, then you're looking for a bit more than that.
It didn't say anything. It said, we're still looking. Well, I'm sorry, but what's that all about? We've had 3 weeks of complete silence.
Fans of all clubs are customers. They buy things. They buy their season tickets. They buy merchandise. They buy inside the ground on match days. So the customers need to be told what's happening.
Yeah, but I go along with that. The AGM is in a couple of weeks' time. They'll certainly get their check. They're going to have to see something, maybe even before that, to be fair.
But Derek, the next 2 weeks will not pass quietly.
I know that. Yeah. I know that exactly.
Rangers will get Dens Park on Friday.
Yeah.
Guys, can I just say, Derek, I'm sorry. The AGM end of the month is light years away. We don't have 2 or 3 weeks. We need action now as a team. Because the caller
What do you want to do?
The games are bogey if they don't. They should have done this 3 weeks ago. They should have had a short list. They know who's in the market. They know who's available. They know the quality of individual we need. It doesn't take 3 weeks of procrastination. And then another 3 weeks of interviews. I'm sorry. They're shocking. Mr. Robertson needs to go. I'm sorry, he needs to go.
Okay, thanks to Robert, the Rangers fan in Erskine, another very frustrated man on the phone lines tonight. Plenty of time for more of your calls. We'll bring you the managers as well, Graham Murphy, Martin Canning and the likes. And we'll do that in a couple of minutes.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly. After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson are still with me in the studio. Gordon Dale, are you still with us at Ibrox?
Yes, I'm the only person sitting here, Gordon, but I'm enjoying the show.
Got a bit hectic there.
Yeah,
lots of passionate Rangers fans. You obviously watched the 90 minutes today, but what we're finding on the phone, obviously, Gordon, is that people are more intent on actually looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah, Gordon, I had a sort of argument, but it wasn't an argument. It was a debate with the Rangers fan, and I find it incredible now that I said on Thursday night, he came on and said the majority of the fans want Graham Murphy as a manager, and I totally disagreed with him.
I remember it.
I'm not having a go at Graham Murphy, but you're papering over the cracks. I never thought that Graham Murphy was ever going to be the Rangers manager. Now, he can take the credit for Hearts, he can take the credit for Partick Thistle, he's got to take the criticism for today. This was his team. They did create a lot of chances, but you've got a guy up front, Morelos, worked very, very hard. I complimented him on that. Just can't find the back of net. And the longer you go, especially at Ibrox, where the form is not good in front of this big crowd, and you don't score that first goal, then it starts to get a little bit anxious. and then Hamilton Accies, who I thought were absolutely terrific today. So we've got to give them all the credit in the world. They got the part and the score. They always look dangerous to get the second one. The minute the second one goes in, this place empties. Rangers fans have had enough. You can paper over as many cracks as you want. The fans, I said, would not be patient to wait 3 and 4 weeks because they've got a safe pair of hands, because the guy sits in front of the press and talks very well. This club is about results, and Derek said that. So, yeah, I can totally understand the Rangers fans that were here, that are going to weigh home their cars and listen to this show. They're frustrated, they're angry, no disrespect, they shouldn't be losing to Hamilton Accies. They've still got this terrible stigma of they can't win 3 games in a row. That's not good enough for a club like this size.
James is in Helensburgh. Sum up your feelings, James.
Hi, Fano, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Thanks.
Guys, I don't really know where to start, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I'm watching that game today and I'm looking at the likes of Josh Windass, Lee Hodgson. I mean, there's nothing about these guys whatsoever. I just can't get my head. I mean, I take my hat off to Hamilton. Hamilton have been absolutely brilliant today. They really were. And I mean, it's nothing to do with Graham Murray. It's not his fault. But just some of that players in that squad today showed absolutely nothing. They had nothing about them. Nothing at all, guys.
Gordon, you're the best person to ask about that, having been at the game.
Well, I do think that Graham Murty has got to take a bit of responsibility. You can't distance yourself. Everybody's quick enough to give him a pat on the back, and he deserved it against Hearts and Partick Thistle. You look at, for instance, I think some of the Rangers fans will question the substitutions. The midfield, Jason Hole, I very rarely seen him in the game. You need goals. He takes two strikers off. Okay, you can say the argument he replaces them with two, but are they better than what the two was on the park? I don't think so. So Graham Murty has got to take a bit of responsibility. Yeah, there are one or two players, maybe a little bit more than that. A bit harsh to say, not worthy of the jersey, to be honest with you.
All that Graham Murty was there to do was buy Rangers time. No one ever suggested that Graham Murty was officer material and was good enough to be the Rangers manager. So it's a bit unfair to go on about him. He's simply a symptom of what's gone wrong.
Let's hear from him then, before I bring James back in. Let's hear from Graham Murty.
It's a hard one to take, given how many chances we created, clear-cut opportunities. I've just said to the players that we can't continue to go into the final third as often as we did, create those opportunities, not take them, and then give two really poor goals away, because we don't build confidence, we don't build quality, and we don't build a winning performance if we do that.
Alfredo probably had 4 or 5 chances before half time at 0-0. Is he a player struggling with confidence the longer it goes?
You'll have to ask Alfredo, because when you see him in training, he knocks him in for fun. So we have to keep believing in the players, we have to keep believing in what we're trying to do. And I can't believe we've still not got a goal, because I think if we had got a goal, momentum would have swung back in our favour, and you'd have seen a different mentality and a different quality to our play if we'd have done that.
A lot's been made of it, but it obviously continues waiting for these 3 wins in a row.
But it's not been, a lot hasn't been made of it within our walls. All that is noise outside. I've said to the players today, our challenge is to knock over the opponent in front of you. We didn't manage to do that today. Runs will take care of themselves if we take care of business, and we didn't manage to do that today.
Was the mentality a concern when they went one behind them, because they seemed to completely dominate in that first half?
Oh, they did dominate, but getting that mistake and that knockback so early in the second half, we lost control. We got a bit frustrated, a bit frantic perhaps, and I include myself in that and wanting to get straight back into it. But I thought we had more than enough in the second half to go and dominate as we did in the first half and create some more opportunities. We just weren't clinical enough in the final third. I said to the players we needed to dominate the first pass from each defensive third, from ours into our forward players and from theirs into their forward players. I didn't think we did that well enough, and consequently we weren't allowed to build the sufficient pressure to keep them pending that we would have liked.
James, how do you feel listening to that?
I tend to agree with a lot of what he's saying. I would just like to see a bit more for the team, a bit more aggression, a bit more passion, a bit more fight. There was times today, like Sir Josh Windass going up for 50-50 balls, and he's just, he looks terrified. Honestly, the guy looks terrified. Lee Hodgson as well, he's running about in circles half the game, doesn't he know where he's meant to be, who's his man.
we need to get somebody into that chair quickly. Somebody, my personal opinion on the whole thing is Billy Davis. Billy Davis needs to come in and take that squad by the scruff of the neck and drag us forward. I think he's the only man to take the club forward, 100%. Derek McInnes is not for me. There's been Alex McLeish being fired about. He took over a Rangers team that was already made. We need somebody that can come in, break this team down, weed out the week, and start afresh and go for it. That is exactly what we need.
Gordon, you may have been forgiven for thinking that Josh Windass was turning a bit of a corner, goals in back-to-back games going into this one, but again, he's been singled out for quite a bit of criticism this afternoon.
Yeah, he does come in for it. I must admit, every time I watch Josh Windass, he starts the game well. You know, he's on the front foot, he looks dangerous, he was making some good runs, but then he just totally falls out the game. You don't see him. I think that there's a lot of Rangers players here, and we touch on the centre forward Morelos with no confidence. I thought looking at one or two of them today, especially when Hamilton go one in front, there's no character there. There was nobody grabbing the grain by the scruff of the neck and pulling them along.
No leadership, Gordon.
No, exactly, Derek. And it's okay when you beat Hearts and you beat Partick. It's a different ball game when you get that goal. Everybody's now wanting the ball. All of a sudden, when Hamilton went 1-0 up, and the one thing I will say about Hamilton today, and the reason why I think they deserve their victory, I thought they were hungrier. I thought they looked like they wanted it more. The desire, the commitment, the passion was there for them, a Hamilton Aki side. I didn't see that today from the Rangers side, and I think that's what the fans are disappointed with. You're right, they need a leader, they need a strong character in that dugout, and I'm not having a go at Graham Murty by any means because he was put in a difficult position, but there's a lot of people out saying, you know, even Derek said, well, if he wins 2, 3, 4 games, he's a contender. I never seen that. I don't think he's a guy to take it forward. I think he needs to go back and develop the players. I think that's what he was brought up for. Rangers board will need to make decisions, and they need to make tough ones shortly.
Lots of tweets coming in as well. Jim Punk says, never once have I said I want Graham Murty to take the job. How fans could say that after two games is baffling. It shows how desperate some are. When a manager wins two games, they shout, give him a job. Totally baffled. And Graham Cameron is having a go at Kenny Miller. He says he's been a disgrace this season. Only game he's performed in is the game when he had a point to prove. He's not playing enough to be in the team. 01419511025 if you want to get in touch on the phone lines. I can tell you, Hugh Keevans, a bit of an update on the Tynecastle situation. It's now going to be an 8pm tonight, an 8pm announcement whether the game's going to be on tomorrow or not, by the looks of it.
Farcical. As I say, I have tried to show every sympathy towards Hearts, who are trying to do a very good thing with a great stadium, make it even better. But to have a game less than 24 hours away and not know whether it's taking place or not reflects badly on Hearts in particular and on Scottish football in general, because that kind of stuff makes us a laughing stock.
If anyone's interested in what's happening in the rugby, Scotland are beating the All Blacks 3-0.
It's a daft game anyway. I mean, they
give you three. I knew Hugh Keevans wasn't convinced, but I'm enjoying
it. Started off really well, I have to say. Scotland have done really well.
They give you
well.
3 points for putting the ball over the bar.
Come on,
Greg, you
honestly
would be a hero at this.
I thought your days at the Scotsman would have made you a bit more cultured as far as rugby was going. Anyway, let's get back to football, shall we? Is that okay for you?
Please.
Thomas is a Celtic fan in Bonnybridge. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, good evening. Evening panel. Just my way back from Dingwall. Just want to call up and make a couple of points, if that's okay, this evening. First thing, in today's game, I just want to praise the away fans. I thought the Celtic fans were absolutely amazing for the full game. Despite probably a frustrating 90 minutes, the fans stayed right behind the team all the way through the game. And then the one piece of quality from Griffiths gave us the win. And I think that's the difference between us and the three teams that are trailing in our wake, trying to challenge us. Today, I think, is the day where Celtic start to pull away from the title. We've sat in the car and listened on the way down to various radio stations, listening to the scores come in from all over the country. And every one of our challengers faltered when Celtic showed their strength and their class by winning a tough game and coming through to win. We've shown a united stance to the club, off the park, on the park and behind the scenes. And that's the one thing that across the road at Ibrox, sadly lacking. There is no direction. There is absolutely no idea and no clue of how they're going to get anywhere near us. Never mind in the next 3 years to stop 10 in a row. In the next 20 years, the money situation at Ibrox will not change. They don't have enough money to compete, and they don't have enough clout in the boardroom to compete with the Dermot Desmonds and the Peter Lawwells. We're a well-run club off the park. We're a well-run club on the park, and we continue from strength to strength. And I just want to know what the panel thinks about how do they see any chance that Rangers get anywhere near us, and how can we get anywhere better in Europe with the limited challenge that we currently have in Scotland?
To address the domestic issue, the only way Rangers could get near Celtic, it would be to find a Rangers equivalent of Fergus McCann, yeah. Because all things start with Fergus McCann. In 1994, Fergus McCann put the business back in order, stayed the 5 years he said he would stay, left Celtic with a stadium to be proud of, left the former Deputy Governor of the Bank of England, Brian Quinn, in charge of boardroom affairs, and along with Peter Lawwell, the massive contribution that he has made, Celtic have gone on now for over 20 years with the help of Dermot Desmond and built a successful business model that just continues to go from strength to strength. So Rangers are nowhere near that state of affairs, and there is confusion, it would appear, behind the scenes. So unless Rangers can find themselves a Rangers equivalent of Fergus McCann, then they will continue to toil. As for Europe, I'm very much afraid that what will be there, because it's going to become even harder for Celtic to qualify in future. They're going to have to play four rounds instead of three qualifiers because the powers that be, where European football is concerned, are determined to make it more and more for the elite and try and block off clubs from smaller countries like Celtic. But for as long as Brendan Rodgers is there, Brendan Rodgers will continue to try and help Celtic improve their image in Europe. He's had some terrific dunts, but he's also had some terrific moments like the Manchester City game. So you're a very, very successful and fortunate club. Domestically speaking, you know that to be the case yourself. And in Europe, Thomas, it's just a case of continuing to battle against the odds.
I think Hibs, Hearts and Aberdeen have no chance of getting money into their club, so they're not going to get any better. Celtic are so far ahead. The only way Rangers are going to do anything is, you're right, is getting the finances. The players that they have at the club are not good enough. It's as simple as that. That's plain. Everybody's aware of that. The only way you're going to get better players is if somebody does put money into the club and they spend big money. Now, who's going to do that? I have no idea. Who would want to put their money into Rangers? I have no idea. But if you're talking about in the next 3, 4, 5 years, that's the only way Rangers are going to half compete with Celtic. If somebody comes in with money, they get rid of half of these players and they bring better quality in.
Lots more of your calls coming up. We're going to hear from Martin Canning as well. We'll try and squeeze in as many managers as we can, but as you would expect, very busy on the phones tonight. Let's take a breather.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly. Games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson alongside me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson. Now, I can tell you, if you were hoping to hear from Derek McInnes, for a number of reasons, because of course they lost at home to Motherwell and he's been linked with this Rangers job, well, Derek McInnes has decided not to come and do the press after the game, and he's passed on that duty to his assistant manager Tony Docherty. So let's hear from Stephen Robinson.
You know, I said all week we will remain focused in this game because this is a tough place to come to. You know, Derek's put a really good side together, and when you look at who they bring off the bench, then you know it's a very good side you're playing against. So we remain totally focused in this game, and I think the performance and the results showed that.
No, you're not a one-man team, but 50 goals for Louis a milestone for him, isn't it?
It's a fantastic achievement for him. You know, he should be extremely proud of himself. He's worked his way back from disappointments in his career, and thoroughly deserves all the plaudits that he's getting. But I have to reiterate, you know, the boys today in the team, you know, it was a massive team performance. Louis' work rate, more than his goals, was the impressive bit for me as well. And if you've got a back four defending like that and keeping clean sheets, then, you know, this is a squad game. And I rotated it a wee bit today, and people that came in and the defenders were, you know, they're as much credit as Louis.
Why do you think you've got the edge over Aberdeen this season?
I don't know about having the edge, you know, they're always close games, aren't they? They're tough fought games, even the, you know, the 3-0 win in the cup, we got, things went for us at the right time. You know, we got a little bit of luck when we needed it. Today I thought we were really well organised, and you know, we changed shape slightly. We actually changed it three times during the game, but I can do what I want technically. Our boys buy into it, and their work rate and their desire to learn and be better every day is just a common theme around the football club.
What do you do now? Give them a couple of days off and then back in Monday?
We have our normal week. We're not changing anything for the final. Right. We'll have our normal week. If they win the final, they might get a day off. But no, we prepare as we always will do. We're not you know, going to down tools and just turn up for the day. We're there to win the football match. You know, we genuinely believe we can go and cause them problems. And if we play like we did today, then we've got every chance.
Well, how can you argue with Stephen Robinson? He's done everything correctly against Aberdeen this season. I know they did lose one game to them, but they've knocked them out of a cup. Now they've knocked them very badly today in the Championship. And he has set up a wonderful cup final against Celtic a week tomorrow. Tony Docherty being sent to face the press. I don't know why Derek McInnes has taken that decision. I always think it's better for the manager to front up. It's been a shocking result. The fans have made their displeasure known. Derek should simply have fronted up for the press. If he was afraid of someone bringing up the Rangers question, then, you know, he's an experienced man. He could have got round that very, very quickly. But he should have presented himself to the press.
Sean is a Hamilton fan in Hamilton. I take it you were impressed with what you saw today, Sean?
Oh, very, 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 very impressed. That was a sight to a man who stuck together. And I tell you what, David Templeton must be the coolest guy in Govan. That was, you're on half the length of the park with 49,000 on your back and simply just roll the ball, roll your foot over the top of the ball and get in and put it in the bottom corners. Brilliant. And then Greg Docherty just epitomised why Greg Docherty, for me, is probably the best young player in Scotland at the moment. This boy at Motherwell, Cadden, or Campbell, he's not got a look in compared to Greg Docherty. Greg Docherty's proved it time and time again. And to make, mark your 100th appearance with a run like that, to set up Darren Lyons, epitomises what the club's all about, youth system-wise, to get on this outstanding.
Sean, you've left one man out.
Yes, well done, you.
Martin Canning.
Listen, the guy's taking stick, and some of it's been warranted, some of it has been, and I agree with that. But today's masterminded some. They stuck in at half, the first half, to be honest. But whatever they say at half time,
Gordon, it's just the way of the world. Most focus will go on Rangers' shortcomings. That's unavoidable. But what about Sean's points about Hamilton and credit to them?
Yes, we said that, and I thought Hugh was spot on there. I think the manager comes in for a lot of criticism at Hamilton Accies. I think he does a fantastic job. His players play for him. The desire today, the hunger. Templeton had a lot to do. I know it was a real bad back pass. He still had half the pitch to run. He was calm, collective. He went round the goalkeeper and rolled the ball into the net. Their work rate was magnificent today. Yes, there was times, especially in the first half, Morelos had a terrific chance early on, then he hit the bar just before half time. They rode their luck a little bit. But when you work as hard and you're organised and the desire's there and the commitment's there and you get that first goal, they went on to deserve their 3 points. And as I said, all the players take all the credit, the supporters, they were a small band of them, great. But I am delighted for the management staff, because I have been at Hamilton and sat behind that dugout and listened to the criticism that they've taken. Well, today they can go and enjoy their night, because they certainly deserve it.
Let's hear from Martin Canning then.
He's done well both times. He's on my pro licence as well, Graham. He's a lovely guy and he's a proper...
Well, that would help if it was the one from after the game and not before. Here he is.
It's a huge result for the club, for everybody associated, for the directors, owners, down to fans, obviously. It's a good day, good night. But it's... without downplaying it, because it's such a big result for us to come here and manage to beat one of the Old Firm in their own park. It is one result. We've got to make sure we don't get too carried away with it. We'll enjoy it, but we've got to make sure now we refocus for next Saturday as well.
Particularly the chances that Rangers had in the first half,
and
then take your chance just after
half time
as well.
Yeah, well, to come to either Celtic or Rangers and win the game, you know you're going to probably need to ride your luck a little bit at times, defend well, which I thought we did defend our box. We put a lot of put under a lot of pressure. You've probably got a couple of counters. You'll probably get to the wee moments in the game you've got to take advantage of, and we've done that, which was really pleasing. I've been on the opposite end of it. When you come places and everything goes against you, and you don't play particularly badly, but everything kind of falls the wrong way for you. Today things fell right for us, which has got to happen when you come a place like this. And it's just it's a fantastic result.
Hope you get the credit from it. Obviously, a lot of focus will be the fact that Rangers lost today.
Yeah, see, to be honest, it doesn't really faze me. The most important thing for us is we come here and get the win, which, like I say, is huge for everybody at the club, and it's a great 3 points for us. And whatever way it's portrayed, is whether it's Rangers played poorly or we done well, that'll be what it's going to be. The most important thing for us is the 3 points.
Charlie's an unhappy Rangers fan in Airdrie. Hi, Charlie.
How you doing, all right?
Good, thanks, you.
I'm just throwing out, you know, after that game today. See, the thing is, I'm sitting here frozen and never even get warmed up with the game at all. I was wanting to talk to Gordon.
Yeah, he's still there.
Yes, Charlie.
Gordon, I was talking to you through the week here. Yep. Morelos. Don't know if you remember him, though.
Yep.
I watched him today, and I'm saying the exact same thing as the deal the other day there. He's not interested. The thing is, I don't have any chances, but at the end of the day, he's still not interested. Did you see his body language when he was coming after the park? He wouldn't even... He could walk in after the park, people were getting beat 1-9. He should have been running after that park to get the game started up again.
Charlie, the only thing I'll say in his defence, I wouldn't say today that he wasn't interested. I thought he'd done his shift. He just couldn't get that goal. And when he missed that first chance, he headers the ball right into the ground in front of him. And how it goes over the bar was an incredible bit of skill for me. He can't get the ball in the back of the net. And when he gets substituted, I think he was so disappointed. He knows his confidence is at a low. And, you know, he come off. And Kenny Miller was the same. You look at Kenny Miller today, I thought he was very poor as well. Morelos started off his Rangers career like a house on fire. And as a striker, when you go a few games without a goal, you're looking to the next one thinking, I need to score, especially when you play with a team like Rangers. The boy's not scoring goals, and his confidence, I think, shattered. I don't think he's not interested. I just think he's so low in confidence.
Gordon.
Yep.
Can I come back in again?
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about investment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe that, as Jim McCall, right, he's supposed to be a Rangers supporter, right? He's sitting back there, he's watching this happen to him. The richest man in Scotland, right? He's sitting there. And this is all happening now. I'm not against Dave King. Dave King turned around and said, when they can do this any better, and they can take the club a bit further on, let them come in. And I don't understand how Jim McCall's not coming in.
This is where it becomes quite difficult, Hugh Keevans, because you're just asking people to you know, to help out when we have no idea what the circumstances are.
Supporters feel that certain businessmen have a moral obligation to buy a football club. No, they don't. If Mr. McCall was interested in buying Rangers, he, I assume, would have done something about it by this time. But he's been mentioned for years and has never shown the slightest inclination. So I do understand where Charlie is coming from. We do understand that Rangers need investment, that the promises that Dave King made have not and probably cannot be fulfilled. But no one is under any moral obligation to buy a football club.
Yeah, you can't disagree with that. I mean, Jim McCall was spoken about, you know, several years ago. Was it involving Graeme Souness? Was it McCall and Souness or something at one stage? But then, you know, within a matter of days, he distanced himself and said, no, thank you.
So that's you right up to speed then. Everything that's been happening today, it's taken quite a while to get our head around it all, but time is upon us, Hugh Keevans. You look at the scorelines coming in today. Ross County 0, Celtic 1, Rangers 0, Hamilton 2, Aberdeen 0, Motherwell 2, Hibs 1, St Johnstone 2, and Dundee 0, Kilmarnock 0.
Wonderful day for Celtic, as the three teams underneath them all lose. So for Brendan Rodgers and his team, far from a classic display in Dingwall, but a game settled by a wonderful goal from Lee Griffiths. For Rangers, it's watershed time, because Graham Murty's not a contender for the manager's job. The fans are now clamouring for something to be done, and they want to be told what is being done.
Thanks to the guys, Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson, for joining me in the studio. Thanks to Gordon DL at Ibrox.
I could tell you Newcastle have scored at Old Trafford 1-0. Right.
Just had to get that in there. We'll be back Monday night, 6 o'clock. Hugh Keevans, Derek Johnson, and myself, GBX, up next.
See you Monday.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.